Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with
Satish Ram. What up?
And Matt's today, what are we doing, Satish Ram?
Apparently cursing a lot, because I think you got in a nice F-bomb right as the broadcast started, which is beautiful.
I'm hoping so. I don't think it did that because I believe even though the broadcast starts, we do have to wait for the nice Blog Talk Radio.
Does that start off on the shows? I know we're talking about Gravity Falls tonight, and we're doing episode 3. But it
right.
just it makes me wonder, because like, I don't know if... I know it starts with Blog Talk Radio thing, but it was almost simultaneous for me. Like, if it was done correctly, like if you were a woman, I would have heard,
right.
fuck talk radio. And like, you know, something like that. You know, but obviously, you know, your voice being more masculine stands out. So it's like, fuck talk radio. And like,
no,
you know,
I'm
it's
pretty,
like, oh, okay, so.
No, I'm pretty sure, and I'm hoping that, actually, no, I'm hoping they did hear it now. Because for the time that we took to talk about it, I'm hoping people did hear it slip in. I'd be very upset if it didn't.
It's like a nip slip for you. Just the F-bomb slip, because you don't particularly like the cursings, so...
No, you haven't heard me on the other shows. I can if it's relevant.
That's interesting. You don't curse with me? Is that because I curse, or...?
Yes, completely.
That's interesting.
Only reason.
That hurts.
It's okay.
Damn.
I have
that
to
really
ask you something.
Go for it.
Never mind. I don't have to ask you anything.
That's not fair.
What if that
you
was the entire
do
show?
That
just,
to me.
Good night, everyone. Good night. No, it's like doing the exact opposite. Like when everyone says about improv, right? Where it's like, oh yeah, improv. You know, you have to always go in. What if it's just like, all right, yeah, I'm gonna go all in. Yeah, all right, come on, ask you something. Sure, I'm about to ask you. No, wait, don't. Live, on stage,
that,
just no.
That my hopes went up and down in like 5 seconds, because you had the potential to ask me anything. You know, and I was ready. And
I was worried. I thought you were saying it in a way where it's just like, oh, yeah, like, I'm amazing. Like, as if you knew everything, which you don't.
No,
but
no. I was ready, like, you know, in the sense of, like, I wanted something coming at me where it was like, all right, it's time to shine, you know? And I got nothing. And that probably was worse than getting a question I didn't know the answer to. Were you
Here's a question
like,
you do know the answer
life?
To. How good was... Here's a question you don't know the answer to. How good was Gravity Falls tonight?
I don't know. It showed tonight? I had no idea. Why doesn't anyone tell me these things? I thought it showed a week ago. Fuck!
Shh! Don't let them know. Don't let them know what we're doing, Satish.
Gravity Falls was on TV tonight, and it was a really good episode. Did I read that the way you wrote it, Matt?
Do you know who controls the ball, Satish?
We control the balls. We
control the balls. We control the balls. From Birmingham to Montreal, we control the balls.
Guys, I figured it out. We control the balls.
Now he gets it. Oh, you guys.
Can I go now?
No. You stay here and listen to our podcast.
Yes. And by the way, speaking of listening to our podcast, would you be able to tell everyone about calling in and our cool call-in features?
Sure, why not? So for those of you listening, tonight we are, of course, doing Gravity Falls Episode 3, which is the Golf War. And our call-in feature, as always, is through this number, 718-664-9468. That's 718-664-9468. Now, if you want to call in and speak to us, because, hey, you want to talk about Gravity Falls, nothing wrong with that, you just hit the 1 button when you call in on your touchtone phone or mobile phone, and we will be alerted with a little blue exclamation point that tells us, hey, you want to talk to the host of the show. If you don't want to talk to us and you want to call in just to listen and hear our wonderful voices to lull yourselves to sleep or to hear us talk... Yeah, that kind of stuff. You can call in and not hit the 1 button, and you'll be able to listen in as if you're listening through your computer or anything else because, you know, your internet might be preoccupied otherwise with leaked nudes, Netflix, large downloads like leaked nudes. You might be playing PS3, Xbox 360, PS4, Xbox One. Don't know how you get from 360 to 1, but hey, call in if you want to listen. Call in if you want to
talk.
What
did you mention
right
about
now.
Netflix? Did you know that the WWE Network is just like Netflix?
Apparently.
Except
it's lacking live television,
Yeah,
how is
so
it better?
Because Michael Cole told me it was.
Michael Cole also mentioned that John Cena was the best champion of the history of the world.
You know who's the best champion in the history of the world? Sergey.
Surprised me.
Sergey, better than Kurt Angle.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, he's the only Olympic gold medalist mini golfer.
Yep, because they only had it for 1 year.
So Sergey has a claim that, you know, Kurt Angle can't even match.
No.
Other people have won gold medals where Kurt Angle has won gold medals. Sergey is a one and done. I mean, they had, nope, nothing else.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't know what we're talking about, we're referring to wrestling, WWE. You can check out some of our podcasts or just watch this product.
Well,
but we would suggest
like
watching
second,
the podcast.
Just now we were talking about Sergey, who, you know, is
yes.
not a professional wrestler. He's a professional mini golfer in an animated
but
series.
Kurt Angle.
Yes. Kurt Angle is a professional wrestler.
Yes.
One of the most decorated professional wrestlers in the history of WWE, WWF, WCW, and TNA. But, NECW, should admit to that. But, Gravity Falls, not wrestling.
This show was good.
Yeah, that's about it. I guess we'll just wrap this up. Good night, folks.
Yeah, good night. No, actually, this was, it's funny because usually, you know, when we've noticed that we usually get off track and we complain a lot about really bad episodes. And thankfully, sadly we got off track, but we have nothing to complain about today. Everything is just positive and all happy and fun, so it's very interesting. Let's, you know, just let's hear us talk
about
good things.
I'm Bailey today. You all can hug me if you want. I'll hug you even if you don't want. Because I'm happy today. You can hear
today's
it in my voice.
What's great, I think, about especially when you talk about Gravity Falls, you know, it was good when it actually aired. Oh, breaking the fourth wall. But talking about it, watching it again before the show, it was just a really good episode, and it was a pleasant surprise because I have to say I did not expect this to be good in the terms of good compared to the first and second episode of Gravity Falls.
I just wanted to get to the serious analysis of the show, because might as well Matt mentioned the fact that we usually kind of, in a way, struggle when we don't have shit to complain about. It's kind of funny. Gravity Falls is a bit of a challenge to podcast about, because they do a lot of things right. And when it's over-the-top amazing, like episodes 1 and 2, of course we can go on and on about it. With episode 3, I mean, it was filler. So, and I guess what was interesting about it is that Gravity Falls, at least for season 2, promises that even their filler has something else. So this one was traditional filler, but it had character development for Pacifica. And
which is amazing.
That's very important, because it seems to me that pretty much all the characters that we've been introduced to, not every single one, like the guy that says, get him, is probably not going to be like the world ender in the end of the show.
Right.
He might, based on the way Alex Hirsch writes. But, you know, Pacifica has had enough airtime and props of relevance to Bill's wheel that we assume that she is going to matter as the show goes along. And based on the first season, all we got was, as Mabel, I don't know if you've got the quote, but as Mabel described it, you know, the bleach blonde stereotype.
Which was going pretty hard for Mabel. I mean, she isn't an idiot, Mabel, but usually her, you know, she might say, oh, yeah, you know, she feels the kind of person where, you know, like Pacifica would say that, and then, or something, you know, very cutting, and Mabel would say, you are a stupid, right?
Yeah, and the delivery was what got me, too, and I laughed.
Yeah.
Because she's like, well, yeah, and I'm like, I'm expecting her to just say poopy head, because that's
exactly.
You know, the type of thing. And then, boom, rips off, like, 7 insults. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And even Pacifica was like, you're dead. Like, that was,
yeah.
And it was cool because the delivery was funny. And at the same time, it was like, well, that is all we've gotten from her so far. And so it was cool to get development in this episode. And among other things, I mean, again, I keep preaching over this, but the guest voice acting so far this season has made me very happy. This episode, we got Patton Oswalt and John O'Hurley. And so this is funny to me because I grew up a huge Seinfeld fan. I don't know about you, Matt.
No.
Not a sign.
So, I didn't hate it, but I just haven't really seen a lot of it.
Oh, well, John O'Hurley has a somewhat, like, semi-prominent recurring role on the show as Elaine's boss. And his voice is very recognizable. So it was really funny for me as soon as he starts off, like, the Knights of Wiener Castle. And I was like, oh, goddammit, it's John O'Hurley.
And oh yes, and John O'Hurley was the.
He also hosted Family Guy for a bit. He was the knight. And Patton Oswalt was the leader of the first Dutch, like Netherland-esque kind of ones that we found in the windmill when it first ended off.
Right.
But yes.
So all right. So we had Patton Oswalt, we had John O'Hurley, and we had a someone who I cannot name, but only by voice, the pirate. Right,
the pirate is
heard.
Guy who does everything.
Yes.
If I've heard the stories correctly.
Yes. And what's amazing about John O'Hurley, by the way, you mentioned him, right? And I said, you know, I don't know this guy's name. I'm looking him up right now, obviously. You know, just to be like, oh, well, I mean, he has to have done something that I know. His face is extremely familiar. And I look into what he's done. Did you know that John O'Hurley was the cult leader and one of the original episodes of Family Guy, the man in white? Yes.
And he also, and if you remember his face, he did host Family Feud for a bit.
Yes. Also, apparently he was in Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Drake and Josh. He was also King Neptune in SpongeBob.
Yeah, the King Neptune voice is a bit more recognizable for kids around our age. Not, like, a little bit younger than us, perhaps. But, you know, the voice kind of sticks. I think. I'm a big fan of his voice. It's one of those, like, it's not the one you're going to sit there and think, man, that's a perfect voice. But I enjoy his voice acting.
Oh, yeah, no, it's nice. I like it. I am a fan.
Yeah.
It is.
But,
yeah, and I've heard him before, which is very nice.
Oh, yeah. And anyone who's a Seinfeld fan immediately would have been like, hey, that's John O'Hurley, and that's good. And Patton Oswalt, of course, King of Queens and some stand-up comedy that he's known for.
Oh, and of course, basically, he's also known for being a giant nerd, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, his nerd reputation has made it to where he's on the Goldbergs, if you've seen the show on ABC, which is really a good show, by the way. He's on the Goldbergs without being on the Goldbergs. He's the narrator of the little boy who, you know, you're supposed to see the show kind of through his eyes. He's the narrator. So he's on the show. Basically being Bob Saget for How I Met Your Mother.
Bob Saget!
Without actually being in the, like, you know, that's how much, and of course, if you don't know, the little boy is a huge nerd from the 80s.
Yep. Right.
So
on.
It's really funny how it's just like, yep, this is, yeah.
Yeah, by the way, I can affirm the Goldbergs is actually a very fun show to watch.
It is. Also by Disney, strangely.
Yeah, strangely.
Yeah.
Go Disney.
So, yeah. Did you happen to notice, for this episode of Gravity Falls, we actually had a different animation studio doing the animation?
I've heard that this was a test for them. Is that right?
Oh, that's nice.
Let me rephrase this. I've heard that the shorts over the summer were a test for the people who did this episode. Because they let them animate the shorts to see if they could do it, and then because this was the filler episode, the first filler of the season, they allowed them to work on that. I can't confirm that 100%, but that's what I've been told.
I can tell you for sure, you know, from what I know, is that there was an animation company that was being tested with the shorts. You know, I can see why it would make sense if now it's just, all right, you've been tested, you passed the test, you know, no one died. Let's bring you up to the actual episode. Which, hey, if there was a change in animation, it makes sense. You know, now there's a, you know, for this one episode, there was a change in the animation company. Instead of normally Gravity Falls is animated by Rough Draft Studios or Digital Emation, this time around it was done by Yearim Productions Co. So, yeah, thumbs up, I guess. It didn't really strike me as odd or different in the episode. You can kind of, I guess, see it in certain shots, but only after you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, you know, like, you know, like after, you know, I think when you see certain shots, you go, you know what? They look a bit bigger than they should, you know, not like out of, you know, proportions or anything, but just certain shots make them look like, I guess I'll use the word real. It's hard to, you know, not real people necessarily, but I feel like, you know, with other of the companies that have been working on this, even if it's like an upward, like, you know, they don't really do like upward camera angles, you know, from like below, because it gives them a look of, oh, this is the actual perspective, where it's like, no, it's usually kind of from up high where it's just, yeah, you're all animated tiny children.
I'll take
that. If that makes any sense.
No, I'll take that.
But again, you had to actually hear about this, because once I heard about this and then I watched the episode, it made sense. But before that, I didn't think, you know, oh no, you know, this person, you know, and if you think, oh, this is kind of weird, companies do this? Oh yeah. You know, Batman the Animated Series was done by multiple companies, one of them being Japanese.
Batman the Animated Series is glorious, by the way.
That
so,
as well.
That's definitely a good reference for you to use, because it's like, oh, so a random Nerno, a really good animated series.
Oh, yeah.
Use that.
You know, I mean, hell, even look at Tom and Jerry, and they always have different directors and, you know, and from that also kind of different companies as well working on animating that show, which is why you even have people saying, oh, yeah, I like this era better than that era, because you had a different director and production team behind the series for, you know, for certain parts of the show, certain seasons. Anyway, so back to Gravity Falls. Didn't notice it, but it was there, so we have to mention it. I really like this episode because, like you mentioned, you know, we were able to get so much from it where, you know, it really, like, you can't say, oh, yeah, skip this one. You know, you really have to be a stickler for just, you know, for just, nope, it has to involve the town exploding or getting the possibility to explode to say, I'm going to skip this one. This one's stupid. Why do we care about the characters, bro? Right? You really can just sit there and just say, no, you know what, this was worth it, and I was satisfied. And there was enough jokes in it, and I feel like they wanted to go a bit darker because people thought, oh, mindless filler. Because there was there were a few jokes in there that I just thought, how did you get past the censors?
Yeah, it's funny because the one that I'm thinking of for sure is when I was watching with a friend at the time who was, and this is a problem we've talked about before, constantly under the impression that because this was a Disney show, it had to be a kid show. And that
exactly.
We were either A, looking too much into it, or B, enjoying it regardless of the fact that it wasn't directed towards us. Now, I'm not going to sit here and argue that Gravity Falls is directed towards us, but I am going to say that just because it's on Disney, it is most certainly not a kid show. It falls into that purgatory, like, you know, limbo area, where you would say Phineas and Ferb falls. Where, although it is, yes, on Disney Channel, there is a lot of humor that appeals to people of our age range, as I'm saying, the early 20s and on, and there are undertones, and perhaps sometimes subtle and not so subtle jokes and things explained that are definitely not for children. And one of the things was pointed out in this episode.
I would argue, sorry, before you finish, I would argue it is a kid's show, but at the same time, they understand that you can't just alienate everyone else involved. Therefore, they throw those nice little things at us, and even at adults, I think, so that it becomes, in a way, it's supposed to be a kid's show, and I still want to say it is, but it also has kind of morphed into a family show, I would argue.
Yeah, I mean, family show may be a good way to put it, because it's not like I can't show kids Gravity Falls. But at the same time, you know, I can turn to you like I had and been like, hey, you should probably watch the show. There's something interesting about this. I mean, I think I've explained this. I actually came across the show watching TV with my 10-year-old cousin. Who wanted me to watch with them. I was like, oh, why not? Sure, I'll sit down and watch the show. And it was the first episode I watched, actually, was Double Dipper in the first season. And the first thing that caught my attention was the fact that towards later in the episode, when Tyrone evaporates by drinking the soda, Dipper, you know, says, you were the only one who understood, and then pours out his soda to the ground, which is basically, as I said before, he's pouring out some for his dead homie, which is a very adult kind of reference. And my cousin at the time didn't get it, and I'm sitting there with my mouth gaping at the screen because I thought, why is that on a Disney show? And so referring back to the Gulf War, which we're talking about, at one point Patton Oswalt's character says something along the lines of, you know, we thought what would be the best thing outside of beating Pacifica? Killing her. You know, verbatim says killing her. And
which is
at this
really
point,
funny.
What my friend realized, okay, maybe this isn't a kid's show. I'm like, you think? After everything that went on, that was the line?
It's upsetting that it took someone that long, but it's okay, and I understand because, sadly, you know, the stink of Disney, you know, I mean, the mark, the mouse mark on the back of Gravity Falls, is hard to shake off until you've actually really just sat there and marathoned. And also the fact that, you know, and I want to bring this out to anyone too. If you do want to say, oh, no, it's only for kids, there's no value to anyone else, they expect the kids to get the cryptograms?
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, to be honest.
You know,
the cryptograms and at the end of the episodes, and
yes.
the
hidden
ones within the episodes.
Yes. Are never explained. You know, there's no website that you can go to funded by Disney that says, here they are, children, a hook, hook. It's like, nope, just...
Right, we have to, I mean, we look for them. We, be, you know, us being the, like, ridiculously obsessed Gravity Falls fandom community.
Oh, yeah.
Because, my God, check us out on Tumblr. Like, not us, those guys, yeah. in terms of the Tumblr fandom. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
We're nuts.
Exactly.
But do check out those guys on Facebook if you want. Those guys on Facebook / those guys on the radio if you're typing in the URL. But, yeah, like, people are like, bloodhounds with this stuff in terms of how they hunt it down. And it's incredible.
I agree completely, and that's why, you know, I'm not, like, trying to, you know, say, like, I understand why you would think that at first, but, like, really, when you know, it isn't anyone taking things a bit too far in this show anyway. You know, I understand maybe some other shows, you know, but in this show specifically, there are a lot of things I think that they want to at least, you know, if they're not, like, fully embracing, I think, teenagers and adults, but they're putting a hand out and saying, hey, if you want to join in the fun, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I feel with this show. Anyway, so, speaking of the dark, you know, more of the kind of darker, not like dark, like, oh, you know, but the darker things in this episode, we also had the whole minor thing, which really just kind of threw me off completely, where it was just that little scene where it's like, oh, I wonder what fun stuff goes on down there. And also
Right-o.
It's just like, yeah, you can't go in there, there's gas. I'll go. No, you can't. You know, just, you know, like, it was just me sitting there going, are they seriously going to kill this guy for a, they just did.
Yeah, that was one thing I was so much like, and in case we've forgotten, Big Henry.
Yeah, Big Henry, right? We also have the seagull incident when they first started fighting. There's the seagull just, I mean, completely, I'm pretty sure he swallowed
oh, yeah,
one of them whole.
Oh, yeah, that took me a second. But
yes, and then... And as he's flying around with them, they're just, you know, just Tipper and Mabel just laughing at how adorable their fight is. They're like, you two are so, you all are so adorable. And they flash back to them, and you're like, oh, so then they'll be just, you know, they'll look cute whenever. Nope, completely battle damaged.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that, I'm just going, so they just kind of made Gulf Gang Wars a thing. And
it's interesting because... There was also a little, like, so jokes aside, there were
right.
undertones about, like, hey, maybe rivalries are kind of immature.
Exactly.
And that was interesting because gaining an ally in Pacifica, if so, not off this one episode, but if throughout the season, you know.
Right.
Pacifica has resources. And not only that, in terms of, like, money and resources, she obviously knows more about the town because she is a longtime resident, you know, and there are, you know, it's hinted that pretty much everyone knows about what's going on, or they know more than they seem, right?
Yes.
And, go ahead.
Thank you. I was wondering, I was like, that was nice. We work together a lot, everyone. He knows my cues. I was going to say that I would argue that she knows nothing other than what everyone else knows on the surface. But her parents, though, that's what's interesting, where not only do her parents have money, but her parents have money. And I don't mean in the sense that they can buy anything they want to. I mean they aren't rich. They're wealthy.
Right.
And that
they're
is
also,
nice,
you know,
when it, what?
In the lie. They're in part of, because they were all okay with the lie of Nathaniel Northwest not being the founder of Gravity Falls.
Oh, yeah. And that's where it is, where, you know, wealth always, you know, has a nice little, you know, heavy handshake with conspiracies, you know, just holding hands, walking down the street, being Illuminati, you know, just completely. So that's the thing is it's just, you know, this, I mean, I'll admit, we could be looking a bit too far in, but it is Alex Hirsch. So he could easily have nice little, you know, like maybe they spend some time in the mansion, and then maybe all of a sudden a ghost pops out or something crazy like that. And then we wonder, oh, God, why is there something in her mansion? What
you
is
know,
in
I wouldn't
there?
Put it past, I wouldn't put it past, because that mansion obviously holds something. I'm going to be honest with you. I am very
yes.
certain that mansion has something. It may be something minor, but the amount of space that it takes up and just the amount of money that her family has, I'm certain that there's something there relevant to story progression. And because of that, I'm very interested in Pacifica. Also more interested in the fact that you can tell that she is not her parents, in the sense that her parents are already established characters and bad influences on her. But she showed moments of the fact that she might be able to change, especially her opinion on Mabel and Dipper. Because, you know, she obviously isn't used to the way the Pines family acts. And part of that, I think, is her jealousy when she acts towards Mabel, because Mabel is allowed to be herself, is supported by her family and loved, you know, all the time. And at the same time, it seems to be the opposite for Pacifica, where she's just told, you have the family name, succeed. And of course we're not going to come watch you, darling. We have a party to go to. And it was like,
and
it's fucked up, you know?
It is. And it's nice that they were able to have that in there to really, like, show you that her life isn't as good as you think. Because sadly, you know, and it's a stereotype that I want.
Her parents' life is. But she right, you're right. Her life is not as good as,
Yes, her life isn't as good as you would think. And even her parents, we don't know. But we're not going into them, obviously, because that's a bit too far. But with her, what I like is that, well, I don't like that her life was that bad, but I like that it was shown, if only because of the fact that there's a lot of a stigma with now rich, you know, with rich people now, where if you and I were able to win the lottery tomorrow, right, that still wouldn't mean that I can keep my relationship going with my girlfriend, nor would that mean that you can pick up women for long term. Right? You can get women for quickly. I mean, hell, you can get guys if you have that much money. You can get anything you'd ever want, right? But doesn't mean that it's long-term, and it doesn't mean that saying, oh, I got everything that I want means that you still have friends and you have a complete life, you know?
Yeah, and that makes her more interesting automatically.
Yes.
Because of the fact that, yes, she is not a stereotype anymore. Now it's like, okay, so she doesn't just have everything she wants, because up to about halfway of the episode, you know, it is fair to say that she had everything she wanted, literally everything she wanted. I mean, she's got a fucking mini golf trainer, she's got a mansion, everything. There was just a slight mention of like, hey, her parents don't, you know, seem to treat her the way that you would hope they would. And that was important.
Right.
And now throughout the entire episode, you've realized the scope of things where it's like she wants to make them happy and be successful in, like, in front of them and get their praise. But they're not going to do that for her. And at the same time, they obviously impose restrictions on her where she's not allowed to eat in the car. She's not allowed to take handouts, quote unquote. Like, basically, she has a very stereotypical life, and she's blocked off from the rest of the world. And, you know, that's why the potential for the Mabel-Pacifica friendship is so good.
Yes. And, of course, as I was mentioning, you know, where I was getting into sort of, but now you mentioned it, I'll just point out straight out, isolation. You know, that is a huge thing. So it's really, you know, I like that this episode kind of explored that, because I really want it to break down, where people don't just go, oh, that person's rich, therefore they must be happier than I will ever be. Where it's just, you know, it's, I mean, maybe they'll be happier than you, sure, but they definitely can't be the happiest person in the world. It's very hard, I feel, to, you know, to just say, oh, money will wash away everything. It might wash away your problems that you have currently that involve money, but that doesn't mean that in the long term it's just, you know. I know you, it's a bit different. You fear financial security, and I understand the same thing. I fear that as well. But it's still, you know, it's still like – and also I would like to add, you and I do have a nice circle of friends. But now all of a sudden we get money and we wonder which one of them, you know, do they still like us? Wait, this person just smiled at us. They haven't smiled at us in about a week. Fuck them. You know, like, all of a sudden, it becomes, you know, everything kind of turns and we get paranoid and whatever. So it's really nice to see a situation where it's just, you know, you can tell kids, hey, even if you have all the money in the world, look at this. See, children? Because I have, you know, and not even children, just like adults, too. Any adult watching that needs a refresher course, you know? Any person watching who needs a refresher course on lessons, I like that Gravity Falls is able to kind of throw them in there. But with really, you know, a lot of fun adventures along with them. So it's not just, you know, hey, you know, Sonic comes on the screen. Hey, children, remember, money doesn't always lead to happiness. Thanks, Sonic.
Yeah, no, and that's good, because this is one episode. And so let's say 23 minutes of television. Is that right?
Right.
23?
Yeah.
So about 23 minutes of television that was able to basically establish, like, all right, Pacifica is deeper than we think. Her family's kind of fucked her up a little bit. Mabel and Pacifica can be friends. And Seuss is really, really homoerotic, which is funny. And still put an appropriate amount of humor in there that attracts the general audiences. You know, and also gang war stuff apparently is a thing, along with the lessons of, like, hey, rivalries may be immature, as I mentioned before. It's a lot of stuff to pack into a 23-minute filler episode.
I'm sorry, Satish, did you mention Seuss?
Hey, a lot of stars out tonight.
Okay, this is getting kind of weird.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
If I was running the soundboard tonight, I'd mute you.
This goes on forever. In
what
case
did
we
you
needed
upload
a future...
that for?
What?
Did you upload that solely for the joke, or did you have that on reference for something else?
Solely for the joke.
All right, points. But
no one can see me smiling, and nor the
W neck now.
What? Yeah, I would love a W neck. Pacifica talked about the W neck, which was really nice.
Tell your servant I liked his W neck.
Yeah.
That also made me laugh a little bit because, first off, she doesn't see Seuss as anything but a servant because in her head, they have to have a servant because that's
right.
All, you know, she's been raised on. That was subtle. That being said,
yeah.
The W neck thing cracked me up. Just Seuss's dedication to fashion, like, I'm going to make a W neck.
Out of everything.
And
get
he's
the public
cutting
what
W necks out of all of his clothes in the car.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, it just basically becomes a large V-neck, which is really funny.
Which, by the way, yeah, large V-neck, and also I would like to mention that it's the same shirt.
All of them are the same shirt.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, quickly straying away, did you see Cheap Pops from WWE?
I did not.
Oh, well, it got taken down. Have to find it
in
video.
Oh, wait, I've heard about it. Very interesting show, but... Now,
because one of the skits is John sitting right before the match,
right.
And the announcer calls in, and he's sitting in his orange and blue, like the orange shirt and shorts.
Right.
And it's just like, John, time for your match. All right. His music is playing. He goes to his closet, orange shirt, shorts, orange shirt, shorts, orange shirt, shorts, orange shirt, shorts, in front of the mirror. I have nothing to wear. And
that's
smart
great.
That with Seuss, because it's like, I like that they're able to do the gag on the fact that most of them wear the same outfit. I mean, Mabel,
yes.
Of course, notwithstanding, because Mabel has, like, 20 different sweaters, and in this season, they're all electric, which is scary. But, you know, that was fun. There was a lot of good humor. I think my favorite joke in the episode was, don't worry, man, there's literally no way you can drown. Falls face first into the water.
I loved, because this one was really true, just, Pacifica's rich, Mabel. She's cheating at life.
So followed up later on with a, we should have charged her for that taco. Agreed.
Yeah. Or just, Hoclinola Soclibu. Subtitles, I don't know any French.
Oh, that was great, actually. I don't actually
yes.
know any French. That was really
yes.
funny.
Yes.
They actually did a really interesting job with the characters that they chose for the mini golf thing. Because, you know, you got all your stereotypical mini golf holes. And I thought it was fun because mini golf is something that sometimes the holes, we don't know how the hell they work. And I mean, in TV,
yeah.
they're constantly portrayed that way. So it was really
exactly.
funny to see them basically say, maybe they have little people controlling the balls. We need to work
Sergei,
on your English.
We need to get you English lessons.
I was laughing because I was like, Gravity Falls heavily foreshadows everything in these episodes.
It's
and
great.
Yeah, when you go back, it's so obvious. Like, you know,
well,
the first episode,
yeah.
he turns to
oh,
the
yeah.
the zombie. And it was really funny about them doing the zombies, by the way, for episode one, is the fact that they referenced that in the first episode of the show.
Yes.
But
although in this episode, sadly, it wasn't necessarily, I mean, it was slightly foreshadowed, I guess, but it wasn't as heavily hinted as it would usually be. Or heavily, hinted under, you know, without us really knowing. Kind of, I would say subliminal, but it's not really subliminal. Meaning that in this episode, the whole Sergei joke happened after we knew that there were actually little people in the holes.
There might
so,
have been more, for all I know, because they
the only
something very.
Well, I'll say this much. I think it was just the fact that it's like, oh damn, like this didn't work, and it was just like, oh well, I don't know. I will admit though that if you do sit there, because if you do know anything about mini golf or golf in general, you will say, damn it, how do these damn holes work? You know?
Yeah.
How do these? So it would kind of be funny if it was just like, oh, yeah, there's like, you know, like, what are the little people? Because I think I've heard that before from somewhere. I remember my dad, you know, loved him. When he was younger, he would say, I thought little people were in the TV. And it's like, Dad, why is that relevant? I broke the TV. He picked apart the TV. And my grandmother came home pissed. And he just looked at her and went, I thought there were little people in there. I now know there are not.
I also did something similar. As a child.
Oh, God.
And I can. Not so we broke the TV, but
right.
I was having really good juice, like really good juice, and I was sitting there talking to my TV because I don't know if I've explained this, but I had a really weird childhood, like because I'm demented. So I was sitting there talking to my TV, and something in my head occurred that the TV was really, really thirsty, and I decided to give the TV a bit of my juice because I thought, you know what, this is such great juice, I shouldn't be selfish, I should probably share it with the television.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
You want some more Tom Selleck? You can have some more Tom Selleck. No, not for you. You've had yours. If anyone doesn't know, that's from Family Guy,
everyone.
Yeah. Where Peter was feeding his television. I believe it was Magnum P.I.
I think
he was watching Magnum P.I., and he's just feeding his TV, and he's like, no, none for you. You've had yours. But, so that's what you reminded me of right now, and you actually did that. So,
that's
the thing, everyone. But,
I have very vague memories of my childhood, so I actually feel very comfortable sharing them to people, because, like, if I've got three memories, I might as well record them on air so next year I can remember what they were.
Fair enough. Hey, those are lewd hand gestures. We've mentioned this before. The little things like that are really nice because even I think the kids understand what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it's just a simple fact that they can't show that on TV. So with them just sitting there going, like, I feel like they just, like, Alex Hirsch writes two scripts. Or at least he writes one. And he, with the intent, like, knowing that's like, all right, that won't pass. And he'll go, oh, okay. And he'll just immediately just change it, like, on the fly to it just, all right, fine then. So then the king says, hey, stop that. Exactly what we couldn't show.
Yeah, no, I really think he does write something along the lines of two scripts where he knows every risque joke he has and he just crosses his fingers that they don't notice.
Yes.
So, like,
and
you know,
when they do.
They were listening over when they saw episode 3. And they're like, what's better? Killing her. They just all turned at Hirsch and stared at him. And he's like, you guys let it go.
Sorry. No. I feel like, no, you know what he did? I think he did the, and I forgot what this is, but it's a psychological thing. And hopefully if you can remind me of what it is, would be great. It's the idea of, he put out two scripts, right? The first one was with all the risque jokes. Some passed, I'm sure some didn't. And in that script, it was just like, oh, what's better than defeating her? Fucking killing the bitch. And then
let's just make it killing her.
And he was like, well, I mean, I guess you guys are the bosses, you know? I mean, whatever. I mean,
wherever
goes,
it sucks, but whatever. Throw a temper tantrum and leave. Smile to himself. It feels like the, I read a joke about this on the internet once.
Mm-hmm.
But just basically, like, you know, if you ever screwed up on a report card as a girl, just do this. Be like, Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant. What? No, I'm not pregnant, but I got a D in a class. But, you know, it's a lot better than being pregnant, right?
I've also said that to my parents, and I am not a woman.
Didn't
work as well.
I figured
but,
it would.
No.
Sorry about that.
But no, but you, the thing is, no, I've actually, no, but you can, it's actually like a psychological thing, and of course it's made jokes, you know, women making jokes about that on the internet, but I mean, it's an actual thing where it's just, oh yeah, give them the really bad one, and then the lesser choice that you wanted, and immediately...
Yeah.
Everyone's going to go for the lesser choice. And then she's like, oh, man, dude, you're breaking my arm here, man. Ah, twisting it. Ah, man, ah.
No, I could just imagine at some point somebody just, like, sits there, like, an hour later.
Yeah.
Fuck, Hirsch just got us. I realize it. And I'd be like, and you'll see him running towards whatever final copy machine he has. Too late, motherfuckers.
And immediately.
I would like to meet Alex Hirsch. Because, you know,
and
he seems like a young, vibrant guy.
He does. And as he's running, by the way, I'm happy you said that, because as he's running, immediately everyone becomes the character from The Matrix. everyone starts morphing
it.
In Disney, everyone just starts more. I believe it as well.
Mm-hmm. Totally. 100%.
And what's strange is that,
probably too.
You know, yeah. And of course, now, you know, because of that, the rumors are that Hugo Weaving is suing Disney because they were using his likeness. We may also get sued for using that joke.
You have well-founded references. I hope everyone appreciates them.
Actually, no, the reason why I brought it up is because, I don't know if you know this, you actually cannot, like, use an actor's likeness. Like, for a while you could. Meaning, like, there was its... Okay, I don't know if you know this. The dad from the first Back to the Future movie was not the same actor in the second film.
I'm not a huge Back to the Future fan, so that's new news to me. But I think I've talked to you about the fact that in Major League, they used two different black guys and just decided to make that a thing. Have I talked to you
about
this?
No.
Okay, well, in Major League 1 and Major League 2.
Right.
In Major League 1... It was
That's a movie. Because when you said Major League, I thought it was the video game. Like, in this video game, they used two different black men, and I was confused.
Oh,
I think
man,
I know what you're referring
movie,
to.
Major League. I'm sorry, the Charlie Sheen movie.
It was an old baseball
movie. And basically what they did was in the first one they had one actor play it, and the second film they just, no explanation, just used a second black guy.
But
and
they changed the actor. Right?
No, same character.
Yeah, but I think that's a bit better than doing, okay, what they did in this movie is they used a different actor, but they put prosthetics onto him to make him look like the first actor.
Well, they chose Omar Epps. Well, basically, it was Wesley Snipes in Major League 1, and they chose Omar Epps because he supposedly looked close to Wesley Snipes.
Well, yeah, I can see Omar Epps' as Blade.
I can only see Omar Epps' guy on House. But, so it's really hard for me to look at him and be like, you would be Blade?
Apparently so.
No.
But imagine putting prosthetics, though, on Omar Epps to make him look like
that's,
Wesley Snipes.
That's fucked up. That's fucked up.
And then,
I got you.
And they did that, I believe, for both the they did that for the dad in the movie. And it was very upsetting because he's supposed to look older anyway, but they actually ended up putting prosthetics on him to make him look more, not just older, but more like
the
first
actor. The other guy. Okay.
And,
you got my interest. Go on.
And, of course, he, you know, sued them because of that. So it's the issue of, oh, God, everyone's turning into Hugo Weaving. Hugo Weaving now has a problem with this.
I see. So an actor's likeness is actually elite. So in an animated show, is it the same thing?
I would assume it's completely different because also for parody use.
Let's say Family Guy. Do they have to pay an actor or actress every time that they use?
No. That's why you'll end up
saying that would suck.
No. Well, Family Guy has the money, but no. That's
of course
why
they do, but it would suck because they use it in the beginning before they have the money, quote unquote. And
No. That's a bit different because remember, it's the difference between and also they always have those things where it's like this person is not based off of anything, even though South Park always had that, and then they had an episode where it's like, where it's just like this is not based off of anything real, blah 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 blah. Immediately has Kanye West saying, "Hey, are you the Hobbit? Like, girl, are you the Hobbit?"
Yeah, you know? I mean, there's the Jonas Brothers in there off the top of my head in terms of funnier famous references, but. Yeah, I get. Okay, so animated series don't have the same thing, but in real life,
Interesting. And also remember, what matters. I don't even think the issue is actors' likeness. It's the idea of, oh, we hired you right for the first one. Then you decided to go away because you know we wanted more money. And fair enough,
so
you did a lot of the first
movie. To be you.
I don't know the legal. I'm probably sure that's not a thing, that shouldn't be a thing, because, you know, obviously it's like my likeness. I remember hearing a lot about
I'm kind of with him, actually.
Oh,
because
I'm with him,
that,
too.
Yeah, that would piss me off if I ever did something, and then I didn't come back, and they decide to hire someone and make them look like me.
Yeah.
No, fuck that. You can hire someone else in my place. Totally cool.
Which is why it happened.
It would be funny, though, because they'd have to find a Guyanese person to hire, and it would be hilarious. Because they'd be like, wow. When did these people come to the planet? We've been here since you have, you
not
bastard.
Not just Guyanese, with your voice.
That
to the point. To the
may
point
actually
where they say,
be a slight rarity.
That's what I'm saying. To the point where it's just like, oh God, okay, Satish, listen, we're going to pay you a reduced, we're going to pay you the same exact role we're paying you right now, just as a voice actor. Is that okay? You're voicing the new guy who's getting paid peanuts.
No, that would be funny, because it's just, it amuses me to think like, okay, two things. Being Guyanese is somewhat rare in the U.S. I mean, we have,
yes,
like, what, sub 300,000 people in the fucking U.S. That's a minority. The largest percentage live here in New York, in my city.
You are
so,
a minority.
Yeah, I'm a minority, and I'm in the majority of the minority, which is wonderful. But, yeah, so largest percentage live here. This voice, not mutually exclusive, not exactly like, you know, like, obviously, you know, that's, but putting the two of them together, like,
yeah,
finding, like, because, you know, you can do the voice things better than me, but
right,
you're less, you're more of a, like, you're less of a minority than I am.
But I am.
You're still a minority, which is good.
Smile.
You know, obviously, I hope that somehow, regardless of, like, you know, however which way, whether it's like, we should hire a minority or, this guy's talented, I hope that somehow you break into the field and, you know, things happen.
Speaking of promotional opportunities, we have a Gmail, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com, and if you want to talk to us about promoting, you know, your product on our show, almost whatever you want to promote on our show, we'll talk about it.
As
right?
long as it's legal. I think we've mentioned this before.
Right, right.
As any legal product placement that you,
yeah,
you want to hear Matt or I advertise.
I sell,
know,
I sell alcohol from a basement. No. I sell cigarettes from a basement. No. Why is it from your basement, by the way? Like, just sell it elsewhere.
I like that you're questioning the voice that you just did. Like, you're getting into an arguing with yourself. And it's, no, and it's fun because I think one of the days when we should do, actually, maybe because we are eventually going to work on a YouTube channel, is one of the things we can upload, if you all would like that, is an advertising reel of potential things
we're
that
not,
Matt or I could.
We're not having a YouTube channel ever. That would never happen.
Well, damn.
So anyway, about this episode, well, it's funny, again, we've gone off topic because amazing episode. You know what I mean? It's just, it's very hard. Just, we hated the fact that it was so good.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny because if you sit there and you want to be like, hey, you guys get off topic a lot. Well, I'll raise you one. I'll do a podcast with Matt where we talk about solely this episode of Gravity Falls. And I'll give you 5 minutes before you get bored of the animation was good, the story was good, the jokes were good, the character development was good, yay.
I love Sergei. Also, oh, by the way, we mentioned the lewd hand gestures thing before I get into my love of Sergei. We mentioned the lewd hand gestures. I don't know if you noticed, that guy was from episode one. It was one of the people that Mabel was lusting over.
Mattress
That's
King.
That's the same guy. Hmm?
Mattress King?
Yes.
No, yeah, it is Mattress King, right? I just assumed that you're...
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so
oh, no,
I
just laughed because he was still king. Like,
yes,
he went
I know.
From being mattress king to mini-golf king. And it was just great because I'm like, is that his role? Like, does he just work at numerous places and run the king thing?
And I love how I didn't realize he was the king. For some reason, the way he dressed and the way he looks like the jester or rather the man who was in the king's place. He's like, no, I'm the king who spoke it. Oh, God.
Yeah, no.
It's just really funny. I was just, nope, he's still the king. And I'm just like, really, king? But I, obviously, you know, that's made by Hirsch. Just be like, yep, that's your king. That's
no,
your...
I like that, and I like the continuity. I mean, I mentioned it was the first episode where we saw Puma Shirt or Panther Shirt guy actually decide on the fact that he got a Panther Shirt. Good decision.
Puma Shirt, Panther Shirt, Puma Shirt, Panther Shirt.
You know, these little continuity things, I think, mean a lot to us as a community because it's just something
yes.
for us to smile at, you know? And the show would do fine without them, you know, but... It's very easy to respect them when you realize that they're putting in the effort that we do in analyzing the show. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
we sit there and we notice these things because we're obsessed, and they basically give us these things as a tip of the hat, like, thank you for looking into our show so much. Here are your little Easter eggs. And that's
oh,
nice.
Yeah.
You know, Easter
that's
eggs in video games and shows are
they
great
care.
Feelings.
Oh, yeah, and
right.
they care. That's why. You know? Also, speaking of continuity, Mabel's anime boyfriends are back.
Oh, my God. That
and they're
absolutely beautiful.
And they're working on the burn unit.
That scene was
yeah.
perfect.
Oh, my God. It's just, it's so wonderful. I mean, it's not only the over-exaggerated Pacifica, just the fact that they appeared again, same voice actors, which is always nice. They appeared again, same voice actors, and they're just, you know, it's the jokes that, what I like too is those are the jokes that we make, you know, and you're teaching them to kids, but they aren't jokes that are so, you know, like, oh, hey, there once was a man from Nantucket, whoa, you know, it's, because if that was on Gravity Falls, I'd be like, that's, I don't know, right, but it was really nice to just have, like, you know what I mean, like, oh, we, you know, I heard a little girl here needs to be taken to the burn unit.
Oh, I what was it? I heard a little girl got seriously burned. Yeah, we came as fast as we could. We came as fast as we could. I heard a little girl got seriously burned. Ooh, I was like, oh,
yeah,
my God.
Exactly.
And it's what the kind of humor we expect from Gravity Falls, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, if anyone's out there sitting and listening and wondering what we're talking about, I mean, do watch the episode. Again, you know, I will not be – I won't hold back if it comes to a Gravity Falls episode. I'm like, you know what? You can skip over that one. Because there were, like, one, two, or maybe three episodes in season one that you could skip over. Not saying you should. You know, I don't think I ever thought in Gravity Falls season one you should skip over something.
Yeah.
But there were one or two I think I missed on the path to the season finale, and I went back and watched them, and it didn't really change things to me.
Fair enough. But I will say that, you know, it's. I just want to mention, too, as we mentioned before, that, you know, there's some, they might think, oh, wow, you know, Dipper, like, you know, oh, God, an episode where Dipper becomes a man. It's like, no.
Don't skip it based on the fact that you think it'll be dumb. Because the Gulf War suddenly, you know, certainly had the possibility of being a stupid filler episode. And there was a lot to pick out from it that was enjoyable and worthwhile. So,
exactly.
You know, Total Watcher. No. And the ones coming up, as we're, you know, we're winding down the hour that we have today.
Yes.
The ones coming up, the two episodes are the sock opera, and Seuss plays a anime dating sim. Or I believe Seuss gets a girlfriend or something of the nature. Now, so sock opera, there's a confirmed Bill Cipher appearance. Immediately, the red flags are going off. All right, something's going to happen. And the description is basically along the lines of Mabel tries to put on a sock opera, a sock puppet opera, to impress a puppeteer in the town.
Mm-hmm.
But it coincides with Dipper searching for some secrets of the journal, and boom, bad things happen.
And apparently, from the way you made it sound, it's from our last podcast on Gravity Falls, you know, it basically turns into Puppet Master. Is what I would say.
Yes. No, you got really happy at that thought. I remember hearing your happiness on air.
Yeah.
And that being said, the episode after that is going to be Seuss looking for a girlfriend. From what I've heard, this is an unconfirmed spoiler. But not a spoiler spoiler, but unconfirmed plot detail. I've been told that what's going to happen is that Seuss is trying to go to his cousin Reggie's wedding. His cousin Reggie, you might remember, is the guy who got into a fight with a teenager and broke all his arms, all his legs. And, you know,
I think he died or something. Yeah.
Dude.
Me and Reggie were talking about it the other day.
Yeah, that cousin Reggie. Supposedly cousin Reggie's getting married. And Seuss needs to find a date. And this leads to him, because he needs help talking to women, trying an anime dating sim and falling for that girl. So that's the unconfirmed plot details. It seems, based on the trailers that we've gotten, that is, you know, that makes sense.
Right.
So that being said, I am looking forward to these two episodes because one of Bill Cipher appearance in four is enough for me to think, oh, my God, this is going to be watchable. Because Bill is, like, anti-filler. Not saying filler's bad, but any time that he appears, there's going to be some kind of development or something that matters that needs to be seen, like literally N-E-E-D, capital letters, needs to be seen.
And how great is it to have had our filler not be that much filler and then immediately jump into a Bill Cipher episode?
And if Seuss's episode after is filler, I am under the impression that I'm going to enjoy the hell out of it.
Which is nice.
And this is definitely a biased opinion because I think it's going to be funny. You know, it's not going to appeal to everybody. But I think that I can't imagine it not being hilarious. You know, as being...
Exactly.
Like, Fight Fighters was one of the episodes I got to use in season one to sit down and show my friends and say, hey, you should watch this show. This is why. Show them Fight Fighters. They get all the references. They enjoy it. All right, this is a funny show. It is. Good. And I think that this is going to be a similar type of episode where it's going to be filler, but it's going to be really funny and relevant to the people that we know. where I can
yes,
sit down and say,
matters.
You know what, watch the show, because this is
yep.
probably going to be funny.
Yes, and before we go, I'd like to mention a few of the ciphers that were in the episode itself. There was one that, during the credits of the episode, that says, "Remember Big Henry!"
Mm-hmm.
Found on the castle wall right after the golf cart dodges the giant swinging axes. Apparently, the keyword whatevs is there. And now this one, which we really have to get through quickly, but I really want to mention this because of how cool this is. There's one that says, and it's a page that, you know, it's at the end of the episode, and it says, "Old man sleeping on the green. Can't help but wonder what he's seen."
So there's our rhyming one for the episode, which always makes me smile. But if those of you, you know, who've forgotten, in the beginning
right.
of the episode, when Mabel first dives in and she's playing, she knocks in a hole-in-one with who? Old man McGucket, sleeping on the green.
Yeah.
The grass, or, the, you know, the green of the course. So,
yes.
Oh, boy. You know, as much as they teased us with Property of F, Fiddleford H. McGucket, hopefully, with the author stuff in episode 3.
Right.
That cipher alone, you know, that cryptogram, is certainly a little...
Interesting.
Hmm, like an eyebrow
oh, yeah.
raise.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And, you know, by the way, before we go, I want to mention two things to you. One thing, do you remember what book or magazine specific his dad was reading?
I forgot. Remind me.
Aficionado, aficionado.
Yes.
That, and apparently Pit Cola has pits. They drink a cola that has pits in it.
That makes it legitimate.
Yes.
No artificial fruits in this one, children.
Yes, and also the fact that it was actually, this was the first time that it was actually drank from. Like, you know, it's been talked about, but it's the first time that it was there, which is very interesting. Its first ever real appearance. Also, Grunkle's Den is the best bad role model ever. And again, it's why this is kind of a family show, because you can have adults say, "Hey, don't do what that adult does." You know? Look at the kids.
I don't know, Matt. We're going to have to break in. And I'm just kidding. Let's break in.
Exactly.
God,
just,
I lost it. Because it was like 2 seconds. Where it was, his face was just, I can't even finish his sentence. Fuck that.
Oh, God, these question marks are falling on me.
That is a quote from the shorts. If you haven't
yes,
seen them, they
should.
Are gold. My favorite part about that one, if you don't believe me, ask me. It's like
yes,
I'm seeing double of my, damn it.
Yeah. It's like I'm seeing triple.
But, the shorts were absolute gold. That was
they
the
were.
Gravity Falls public television.
They were. So anyway, everyone, sadly, we have to go. But as Satish mentioned before, we do a lot of different shows. And where do they go? On our Facebook. Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio. Or if you're searching up Those Guys on Facebook. Now, what else do we do? Well, we do wrestling, WWE Raw, sometimes WWE SmackDown. Most definitely the pay-per-views that come by. Also, WWE rumor shows. We also do Dragon Ball Z shows based on the movies, usually on a weekly basis. But if we can't, don't worry, you won't be seeing it on our Facebook page. Also, This Week in Comics, where we talk about the, you know, certain comics that have come out this week. And also, we have a Twitter. Those Guys Radio. And on
that
our Twitter,
awesome.
Yes, and on our Twitter, we not only post our shows as well, if you're more of a tweeter person, or we post funny cat pictures, because why not?
I can't tell if you mess up tweeting Twitter and follow and like on purpose now, or like if you're just doing it to like, to humor me, but...
I have an internet that has Google.
And on that internet that has Google, you can direct yourself to Gmail, where you can find our email, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com, where you can email us about show ideas, promotional opportunities to advertise with us, or collaboration opportunities. As well, you know, if you can't get enough of us, you can always check Blog Talk Radio's archives, if you're new, to listen to some of our old shows, where we've done things, as Matt has mentioned, Gravity Falls, Pokemon, wrestling, comics, Dragon Ball Z, lots of stuff
and
going
also,
on.
And also, remember, everyone, that if you want to see some of our videos, we actually have a VO up and a Daily Motion. I'm just kidding.
That was funny for a second.
Yeah, because you thought I was serious for a split second. You were
I
like,
did.
Wait,
I was like, did Matt use Daily Motion? That's nice. I didn't know he
no,
could Daily
no,
Motion.
No, Daily Motion is real. VO was the joke. as become. Anyway, sadly we have to go. Thank you guys for listening to those guys, and we are signing out.
Word. I'm so happy you finally...